Hello, welcome to Foreign Matters and to Radical Islam's War on Christianity. There's a provocative title to some, but remember the caveat, this is Radical Islam's offensive. 52 Christians and security personnel were killed in Iraq over the weekend. 500,000 Christians have fled the country since 2003. More than 30 churches have been blown up. Gunmen now run amok in churches in Egypt and Algeria. Christians have been burnt alive in Pakistan, attacked in India, Malaysia, and Indonesia, and they're persecuted in Saudi Arabia. The list goes on and on. And yet, what we frequently hear about is the war on Islam. The war on Islam theory is mostly based on the invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq and the ongoing debate over burqas and veils. It is utterly flawed. The rights and wrongs of the Afghan and Iraq wars are not the point here. The question is, did the West, acting as a neo-crusader, invade those countries because they have majority Muslim populations? The answer is no. You can argue oil, strategy, liberal interventionism, the military-industrial complex, personal reasons. But there's nothing to suggest that if those countries had populations which worshipped blue cheese, for example, the Americans and British would have acted any differently. As for the debate over veils, these are narrow points to do with security, an open society, and pluralism. What is true is that in the West, there is freedom of worship. Muslims are not ethnically cleansed from cities, and gunmen do not run amok in mosques or burn Muslims alive. Of course there is a degree of Islamophobia. Of course there are some violent acts against Muslims. But there's no war on Islam. Now back to the other war. Note that those who posit that there is a war on Islam say that entire peoples, countries, indeed cultures, are attacking them. It's important to keep in mind that the war on Christianity is not perpetrated by Islam, nor Muslims, nor a culture. It is perpetrated by radical Islamists, some of whom propagate the ideas which lead to violence, and some who carry out the violence. They are a distinct minority amongst hundreds of millions of peaceful people. Iraq is the best example, although here there are complicating factors. Some of the ethnic cleansing of Christians there is carried out by criminals using Islam as a flag of convenience to cover the naked shame of their gangsterism. They force Christians to leave unless they pay large fines to continue their religious beliefs. But many of the more than 2,000 Christians murdered in targeted attacks in Iraq since 2003 were killed by Islamists who object to Christians because of their beliefs. This weekend, the first person to die in the Baghdad church was the priest, who was singled out and murdered. Al-Qaeda in Iraq posted a statement calling the church a dirty den of idolatry. During one of the attacks on an expat compound in Saudi Arabia a couple of years ago, Al-Qaeda's men singled out Christian and Hindu dogs, as they called them, before shooting them, but they spared Muslims. The latter incident is very telling. If they'd found any Jews in the compound, for them, that would have been the bloody icing on the murderous cake. One thing the Western media has failed to convey to the public is that AQ, Al-Qaeda, isn't just against Western foreign policy. It's against everyone who isn't a Muslim, preferably a Sunni Muslim, preferably of the Salafist bent. Add to these attacks the lack of religious freedoms in many countries, and you see Christians suffering across the world. It takes many forms. In Saudi Arabia, a Christian is not supposed to worship, not allowed by law to worship anywhere, although usually, not always, a blind eye is taken for ceremonies held in private houses. If you fly on some airlines to and from the Middle East, and the film you're watching features a cross, the cross is blurred out, and it's deemed to be offensive to Muslim eyes. It's not widely known, but Christians, indeed all non-Muslims, are forbidden from entering the city of Mecca on the grounds that the Quran, 9:28, says they are unclean. Well, it says idolaters are clean, and I think what the Islamists call cross-worshippers fall into that category. Certain the Hindus do. As for being unclean, well. The latter examples are given merely to show the depth of paranoia in some areas. In themselves, they are silly, inconvenient, or downright offensive, but you can suffer them and still live your life. Where they connect to the murderers is that they fuel the idea of Christians as inferior, almost a non-people, and that in turn leads the radical Islamists to don suicide belts, enter a church, surround themselves with Christians, and when the rescuers arrive, to detonate the explosives and kill as many Christian women and children as possible. That's a war on Christians. And that's Foreign Matters. See you next time.